Agenda item number 20, report and possible discussion of drought update by Brad Brook, Water Service Manager.
Mr. Chairman, before this happens, two good news here. This is the last briefing, and there is no resolution.
That's great.
Mr. Chairman, Directors, Friday afternoon, I was changing my drought update into a rainfall update. Thankfully, I've been looking forward to the day that I got to come talk about a little rain instead of drought conditions, and we finally saw that last week. Go ahead and go to the next slide. This is just what we've been doing since October. I think when we last met in October and briefed you, we're kind of at the tail end of a summer of significantly high water use. I think I told you our water use was going to set new records for our all-time existence, and they did, over 500,000 acre feet. We released unprecedented quantities of water for our downstream customers. And in October, we were still making those releases. But shortly after the board met in October, we had a fairly wet December. And I believe around the first week in December, we stopped all our downstream releases for the first time since April. So we had 8 or 9 months of continuous releases, and that was just unprecedented. So that was significant with the rainfall that we started receiving. Also, one other thing I wanted to point out on this slide, we kind of touched on some of the other items already today. But our current drought contingency plan has been doing a pretty good job with regard to coordination with our customers and going into stage one and stage two, and we've even gone to stage three at Lake Somerville. But within stage three, our current drought plan states that, if things get dire, that we'll essentially be able to curtail water use under our contracts. And the water code has provisions about how that is to be done, but they're very general, and our drought plan is very general. And obviously, when you get into that, the devil's in the details. And so that's one of the things that we've been looking at over this past several months, is if we got into that dire of a circumstance, what would it look like and what would our procedure be? Fortunately, I don't think that we're going to be faced with that anytime this year with the rain that we received last week, and hopefully for a long time. But that's one of the things that we've been looking at. I think that's a shortcoming of our drought plan. And we're going to be updating our entire drought plan at some point when we get clearly out of the current drought and can assess what's happened. Next slide. This shows you, this is a slide that I showed you back in October about how far behind on rainfall we were. This is for the period, the 12-month period from October 1, 2010, through the end of September of last year. And you can see the whole basin, and for that matter, the whole state is red, anywhere from 12 to 20 inches behind normal rainfall. If you flip to the next slide, beginning in October, if we start the clock over and look at what's happened in the last 4 months, we've kind of seen the opposite trend. We've seen parts of the central and upper basin where we've had some areas that are 4 to 8 inches above normal rainfall for that four-month period. And this is in spite of the fact that the climatologists have continued to predict that the odds are that it's going to be drier than normal, and they're continuing to predict that. So I don't know if what we've seen in the last few months is an anomaly. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully we'll stay on this track, but things have certainly been improving. The next slide. This slide, I believe, I also showed you back in October, and this is a gauge location down in the lower part of the basin that shows what the flows in the river down there are. And this slide starts in April of 2011, April 13th of last year, when we started making releases for our downstream customers. And the blue represents the water that we were actually having to release for those customers, and the yellow is natural flow in the river. And you can see that through the summer, almost all the water in the lower part of the river was from our releases, and as we've gotten into October and December and now into January, we've not been having to make those releases, and the rainfall's been producing enough runoff in the river for some of those customers down there that have been able to make it without any stored water. So again, that's kind of another indicator of the rain. It's produced some runoff, and it's got the river flowing again, and hopefully that trend continues. Next slide. This is one that I showed you as well, or this is actually created a week or two after the October board meeting. And when we last met in October, I believe the system was about 63% full. Our Lake Whitney storage, I'll forget to remind folks, but with regard to Lake Whitney, it's a little bit unique from the other reservoirs in that it's the largest reservoir in the basin, but the Brazos River Authority's storage in that reservoir is relatively small. We only have about 50,000 acre feet of storage. And we had used all of that up, so you see 0% as far as what our capacity was back in November. Go to the next slide. This is looking at where we were January the 18th, a couple weeks ago before the rain fell. We've essentially been holding pretty steady through October. Our storage hasn't changed much. We were at 63% in October, and here the first part of January, the middle of January, we were at 64%. And so again, the rainfall that returned was kind of stopped the bleeding, so to speak, but at the same time, we hadn't seen enough rain to really bring things up. We had just kind of slowed the decline. The next slide shows what we were projecting. This was early last week before it rained. We were updating our projections looking out through the end of March of this year. And if we hadn't received rain and it stayed dry, we were projecting the system as a whole to be down to about 57% full. The next slide actually shows where we are as of today. And there's a lot of good news on this chart. You can see several of the reservoirs that are completely full, like Aquila, like Granbury, and like Proctor. And for Lake Proctor, that's the first time it's been full since 2008. So it's been below its normal level for almost 4 years, and it's full now. But for all the full lakes, one of the things that you can still see there is there's a lot of white space on Lake Belton and Steelhouse Hollow, Lake Somerville, Lake Limestone, and even though Possum Kingdom and Whitney improved some, they still have a ways to go to fill up. And going back to the discussions earlier with regard to the controlled outlet conduit at Possum Kingdom, Belton and Steelhouse Hollow and Somerville are three of the downstream reservoirs that we use heavily when we have to make downstream releases for those customers downstream. And despite the fact that we've increased from the rains significantly last week, we're still pretty short in those reservoirs. And if we got into another summer of heavy releases and had to rely upon those reservoirs and didn't have Possum Kingdom available, we could find ourselves in a pinch toward the end of the year, first part of next year. It's definitely gave us a little bit of breathing room, but we're still not out of the woods from that standpoint. Next slide. This is just a linear type projection showing the total system capacity. Again, this is a two-year period that you're looking at, starting this time last year and looking out through about this time next year. The black line represents the total capacity of our system, and you can see, I believe it was mentioned earlier, that we were almost full this time last year. It's hard to believe that as dry as the summer was, we depleted that much storage, but we did. We were at 94% full on February the 1st last year, and today we're at 75%. So we're still not near as good as we were last year, which tends to indicate that if it doesn't continue raining, we could still be right back where we were. But you can see where the black line turns and starts going horizontal in October. Again, it held steady for about 3 months, and then last week we gained about 200,000 acre-feet of storage, and you can see the black line rising up sharply there. We've still got about 500,000 acre-feet to fill before we're completely full, and the dashed lines that are on there are just different projections as we go through time. A lot of times people refer to them as lake forecasts, and they're technically not forecasts. We can't forecast what the lake is going to do without knowing how much water we're going to get, but what we do look at is planning for the worst and hoping for the best. And those dashed lines at each point as we go forward, we look and say, okay, if we return to drought conditions and it gets bad again, what's that going to look like? Knowing that anything better than that, the line's going to go up. And you can see for the summer, we were tracking very closely to our projection until we got to October, started raining. And so as we've been going forward, we've been updating those projections. And you can see that when we update them again, we'll have bought ourselves a little bit more time. Next slide. Again, for the optimism of the rainfall, the forecasters are still saying that it's more likely that we're going to stay dry at least through the spring. They haven't been right for the last 4 months, and so hopefully that trend will continue, and we'll continue to see some rainfall. But nonetheless, this is what the climate models are showing. Next slide. I'd put this slide together back before it rained, and a question that I've been asked a lot over the last 6 months is how much rain is it going to take to end the drought? And my answer always says, well, it depends on who you are. If you're a farmer, it might be one amount of rain. If you're a rancher, it might be some other amount. When I think there's fewer cattle in Texas now than there were in the 1950s, and so ranchers that are going to have to restock their herds, they're not out of the drought, but some farmers that have good stands of wheat right now and the ground saturated, maybe so. From a reservoir operation standpoint, we're not out of the drought until our lakes completely refill. And for Lake Limestone, I picked to show you an example. Before the rain last week, we needed 95,000 acre-feet of water to fill up Lake Limestone. And you can see it here in this red line is the drainage area for Lake Limestone. So any water that falls within that red boundary that doesn't soak into the ground or get trapped in a stock tank will eventually make it to Lake Limestone. That area is 673 square miles, and so when you do the math, it takes about 2.65 inches of runoff from this entire area to fill the lake back up and get us back to that 95,000 acre feet of water. What we ended up getting last week, I looked this morning, and I would say there were parts of the county where we got 4 or 5 inches up in this area, but down here closer to the lake and out in the very north western part of the basin, it was closer to 2 to 3 inches. And so the lake came up, I think, about 40,000 acre feet. We came up about 3 or 4 feet, but we didn't quite get all the rainfall that we needed. And again, there's a lot of variables. It's not going to rain evenly over an entire watershed. How fast it rains, you know, if it rains 5 inches in one day versus 5 inches in a month, that has a big impact. But these are just some of the things. And when we think about how much rain does it take to end the drought when you're a reservoir operator, we're not out of the drought until the reservoir is full. So we've still got a little ways to go here at Lake Limestone. Next slide. This is looking ahead. First of all, the photographs there, that's a picture at Lake Granbury last Thursday. We were releasing almost 20,000 cubic feet per second of water. And at that rate, if we didn't have any inflow, Lake Granbury would be empty in about 5 days, or actually about 3 days. And we've released enough water to completely refill Granbury if it were, it would have been empty, just from the inflows that have been coming in. And that water is going down to Lake Whitney. This picture at the bottom, many of you probably heard about the situation with the city of Groesbeck. Back during the summer, they were literally days from running out of water, and we're looking at piping water from a groundwater or a mining quarry. And this is what their spillway of their reservoir looked like last week as well. So they're out of the woods, at least for now. They've got some long-term planning that they need to take care of to make sure they don't find themselves back where they were. But there are some areas that are definitely improving. Going forward, we've got some of our reservoirs that, like Lake Proctor, for example, that was in stage 2 drought, and it's full now. So over the next few weeks, we'll be taking care of the notifications to bring that reservoir back to out of any drought stage. The Lake Granger intake, we'll continue to watch that. John showed you the projection for the Lake Granger intake and the $2 million. And if you remember from that slide, there were two lines that showed what would happen if we just got 25% of what our normal inflow was. And that almost fills the lake up. And so I think there's a very low likelihood that we're going to have a problem at Lake Granger. But again, if we do, we've got to be prepared to act. And so we'll continue to monitor that. We have customer meetings scheduled in each part of the basin toward the end of February, and I think we're going to go ahead and press forward with those, even in the areas that got the rain, to just update all of our customers on where things stand. And then, at some point here this year, we're going to relook at our drought plan and see what worked and what didn't work and what we need to change with regard to trigger levels. And I believe that's all I have.
Let me say, make one. Go ahead.
Oh, I just have a question about some of the information that we're putting out about this, specifically about Facebook and how that's managed here. And I know we have about 2,000 people that are following that. Word of mouth is 10 times that. And it seems like when we post something that we've opened the gates and the water's flowing, there's a lot of negative comments that are never responded to, never acknowledged, a lot of misinformation that is going out from other people. Is there any way to try to manage that or make an effort to at least respond to it or provide factual information other than just the updates?
I'll let Judy or whoever she does that or Beck, then I'll have a comment. Go ahead.
Sure. We definitely follow it, obviously, on real time. In general, we try not to be we're responsive if we're asked a question. What we do see is some folks that get on there and, frankly, want to be negative or snippy.
You get bashed a lot.
And, that's a good way to put it. And so we try to have very thick skin as much as we can. And we have some procedures set forth where if anybody goes a little overboard, we have the right to pull it down. But in general, we try to let them vent, so to speak. But we'll answer questions a question when asked a question. But Boss, do you want to add to that?
What I was going to say is that you could spend your whole day answering those things. Sure. And so if they get crazy, we'll come in another way, go in the back door, whatever. But try not to get into an open dialogue about messing with or letting them messing with us. Because I guarantee you, just like you said last night, you get ticked off and you want to go nuke somebody. Mm-hmm. So do I. Let me make a comment about this communication coordinator. And then Brad said we're going to relook at our drought contingency plan. A thing happened last Friday. A guy was here on a Brad's Jeep Friday or Thursday. I've slept since then. But anyway, from Temple, he came up and he said, I've been thinking that you guys, go back to Brad's chart where we had the lines, projected lines, the graph. He said, y'all make your predictions about the drought stage warning areas based upon supply. He said, we at the municipalities base ours on consumption. He said, somehow we need to coordinate that to where we're more in tune with y'all, to where y'all can, we can use y'all and y'all can use us in order to try to make that happen. I think that's a content, I mean, I think that's has come about for one reason, and that's called the drought. There's been a, that was a significant emotional event that scared the hell out of people. Whenever the people in Georgetown and Round Rock thought that they weren't going to have any water because we, the BRA, screwed up their intake structure, they were nervous. The people at Grosbeck, there was no way to get water to them. The good Lord was the guy that fixed that. And so I guess what I'm saying is that this drought has done a couple of things. It's brought on a sense of civility that I haven't seen since I've been here. You go talk to somebody, and they listen to you, and they say, oh, I didn't understand that. When Brad goes, he's like a Pied Piper. Whatever he was saying, whenever those lines were going down, I mean, that people were latching on every word. What's going to happen to me? And that's very powerful. And the negative part of that is that you have to deal with the people on those social things. And, yes, ma'am.
Well, I'd like to pass on some unsolicited good feedback in light of the Facebook comment, but a couple of weeks ago, Brad and John Hoffman came to the Round Rock City Council meeting at the council's request, and I went to attend, and the purpose of it was just that, a drought update. The tagline really should have been, what is BRA doing to make sure Round Rock has water in the future? Because we feel sensitive out in Round Rock, given our growth and, you know, and the dire situation from the summer. But Brad and John did a great job. I mean, as an observer, I was impressed, and then I've heard great feedback. And I thought they conveyed a sense of competency, which is true, but a lot of the council members and just lay people don't really understand what a river authority does. So a sense of competency and a sense of being on it, commensurate with the kind of emergency level of feelings we felt out at the bottom of the basin. So I heard great things, great feedback when I'd run into people, so I would just share that.
Before we go to the next item, I'd like to thank everyone here for their participation, and it's a great meeting.